last week talked about transformation. We'll say it that way. So today we're going to talk about repentance. And this is kind of a hard one. It can be hard to talk about repentance because if an item or something doesn't go our way or a person comes against us, we tend to like to be the innocent person in the whole situation. But that's not really how it works. So, well, I know, right? I've really misunderstood some things. So on today, I want to talk about the question is, have you come to the end of yourself? Most of the time, we create our own wall that we continue to keep hitting. Those moments in life when we feel that it's the never-ending situation that just keeps coming back to the surface. The past things you've done that keep popping back up. Sometimes when you're really battling, it can feel like just blow after blow after blow. You get right back up, and then here comes the next thing and the next thing. And so we're going to talk about that. And when you're in a situation like that, what we have been instructed we are to do to get through that. We want that glory to glory life. We want our lives to get gooder and gooder. We want that for our children, our loved ones. We want this for our careers, our home, our family, our goals. But what about our God? Our inherent future, we need to be thinking about God. What about our God, our inheritance future? We tend to get stuck in the here and now and the me's. And the more me, the less. If we keep focusing on ourselves, our problems, our family, our home, all of a sudden you're becoming with all the things you think you want here. You're becoming so consumed with yourself. You're not giving him room to work in your life because you're not giving him the permission because you are going to yourself first. But what if we made it a point of action to hold ourselves accountable first before we try to make others accountable in a situation? We can blame others all day long, but what if we didn't? What would happen if we chose to take action to ourselves first? When you do, that's called repentance. That's the start of repentance. So last week when we spoke about transformation starts with repentance, but it does not end there. Repentance is asking God not only to forgive you, but also allowing him to work in you. When you hit a wall where nothing is changing, nothing is moving, it's very stagnant, you probably need to start at ground zero. Starting at ground zero is the old term, starting from scratch. When you do this, you are going less me and more he. You are giving him room to start acting and moving in your life because you are coming out of your flesh and stepping into the spirit. In my career, I deal with around 8,000 employees, and I handle all their withholdings for taxes that come out of their pay and bonuses and things like that. So it's a whole lot of numbers. And listen, in high school, if you would have told me that one day I will end up being in a tax department for a large corporation, I would have laughed out of my own socks. I would have laughed you out the door, but here I am. So with all the numbers and calculations, I'm a kind of old school gal when it comes to this. I'm a calculator. I'm a pen and paper. You know, I don't sit there and do it on my phone or on the computer. There's something about that satisfaction of knowing that I'm putting the work into it. But I can be on a roll just sitting there clacking away, doing all my numbers, and everything's starting to line up. And then all of a sudden, the numbers aren't lining up. And I'm like, how did I come up with that? And where did that even come from? And then the frustration sets in and the overthinking. All of a sudden, all the paper's getting wadded up. I don't even put it in the trash. I'm irritated, and it might end up in the floor. clearing off my calculator, and you get to a point that you have to say, I just got to step away from this for a minute. I'm getting too frustrated. I'm overthinking it. And see, it's not just in a very mathematical job. This can happen to all of us where we hit a wall, we're on such a good roll, and then that wall comes, and you're like, and so sometimes we have to step away from the situation or the moment, and then you kind of go to that quiet place, right? So sometimes if I'm getting up and away, it's to step out and water my flowers or just get some fresh air. And when you do that, all of a sudden, that aha moment comes. Like, oh my gosh, I realized what I just did. I can figure it out and, you know, rush back in there and get it all going again. And we tend to do that. When we step away from a situation and you see it in a clearer light, you can go back refreshed and at full force and know you're getting ready to do your job, which you're supposed to do. And that works the same way spiritually as it does worldly. When I shift my focus and direction, that's when those aha moments tend to happen, the breakthroughs. As believers, when you shift your focus and direction, instead of thinking about me and you shift it to he, your breakthrough is going to start happening. But you have to get out of your flesh in that moment in order to let him start working in you. Otherwise, you're just going to keep being on repeat. You're going to keep doing the same thing over and over. When you carry around past hurt pockets, current scowls, wounds, worries, the things that just keep surfacing, whether from a recent past, long ago past, those old things can just randomly come to surface. Even if we have forgave people, if we have moved on past those old yucks, there will be an opportunity that arises that's going to come right back to the surface. But what if we shifted our thinking? What if all of this stuff keeps coming up because it's an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to work in you and what flaws you may have in your character? So instead of focusing on what everybody else needs to be doing, now you're getting to ground zero and focusing on what you need to happen. And we don't always see that about ourselves, right? So that's where we go to God, to the Holy Spirit, and let him start working in us for that transformation on the inside to start appearing on the outside. You know, the whole take a long look in the mirror. And Matthew 7, 3 through 5. This one's a bit of an ouch. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Okay. Everybody okay? Yeah. It's basically saying check yourself. Okay? Also think about this phrase. Nothing changes if nothing changes. We ask God to change a challenging situation we are in or that we are facing, or to work in the hearts of others. But then wouldn't it be a little bit presumptuous of us to not think that he wants to do the same in us? I'm going to talk about a situation that I went through, and it's kind of funny when you go through a situation during that time, you don't know the lesson you are learning. It may take years down the road that you look back and you're like, oh, I get it now. The light bulb comes on. So I want to talk about a spiritual warning. So I thought when I kind of went through this experience, it was the first time I had been or had an experience as this. But it was kind of, you know, the gut feeling. But when it's the Holy Spirit, you know, because for me, my experience is this. So when something is off, it's almost like a cringe, like it hurts, like it physically but spiritually hurts, if that makes sense. I guess I'd had those feelings before, but I wasn't tapped in, so I didn't really understand it, you know? And so, but this feeling would not go away. It just wouldn't leave me. And because I had never dealt with this or felt this before, I immediately like, what have I done? Who have I hurt? Where have I hurt somebody? What? Why am I feeling this? I just didn't understand where this feeling was coming from. And so I finally realized that I was doing everything I knew to do in that situation, that feeling, the Holy Spirit warning was not going away. And that's when I finally decided. I was reading a book by Todd Smith. I need to take myself to the throne room, which we talked about last week, and I got to hit the altar. And I did. I opened heartedly because it felt so, it's hard to explain unless you felt it, you know, but it just felt so hurt. No, not awkward, like it, your spirit hurt. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? That just that some people might refer to it as like a gut-wrench feeling. Yeah. So, when I went to the altar, I just, God, take this off my heart. I don't want to feel this way. Forgive me for what I have done. Forgive me for what I've tried. Lord, open my eyes to see what you want me to see. Warning. If you do that, you best be ready. Whether you're praying for him to open up your eyes or pull back the veil of a situation to see what's really going on because you don't understand it, you better be ready. So we have Matthew 7, 7 through 8. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Is that John 15, 7? If you remain in me and my words remain in you, whatever you wish, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And then Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will answer you. And I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. Yeah. So right there is kind of a warning. If you ask, you're going to get it. Before I repented, I carried that feeling around that I didn't understand. For months. What occurred was that feeling of almost pain, that we'll call it the gut-wrenching feeling, but this Holy Spirit warning. But that feeling only happened in a certain encounter, okay? During those months, I never spoke to it about to anyone, because not even my own husband, because I didn't understand it. What am I going to talk about? I mean, I don't know. Am I to blame? Is somebody else to blame? Is this a growth spurt? You know? So that's a lot of stuff to deal with in here, especially when you've got your everyday stuff going on. And so I did for months. I just honestly thought it was me because I couldn't put pieces together. And then that is why I hit the altar. I need a true repentance because, see, the thing is, we can blame others all the time, but when you've dealt with a tough situation, you somehow played a role in it, whether you're oblivious to it or not. We're never just, I mean, you could have said a single sentence that really stewed somebody up. They went home and sat on it and got more mad and more mad, and then here they come because of one sentence that you absent-mindedly said, not knowing the effect it would have on another person. So during this time, one of my, I'll say, spiritual advisors came over to our house, and we were standing out in the driveway praying. And while we were praying, of course, I felt peace, but then there was ask. Can I get a little more popcorn for that trail? Like, ask what? What am I supposed to ask? But as soon as I looked up and looked right into this person's face, I knew what I was supposed to ask. And it was one, it was about the feeling, what I had been struggling with for months. And I did. I asked and I explained what I had been through. And then come to find out, she was like, oh, no, that's not a feeling. That's not you. That's the Holy Spirit telling you, giving you a warning, something isn't right. And if it's not going away with everything you've done, you really need to pay attention to that. And as soon as she said that, we started praying again. And then she was explaining to me that she had had that same spiritual warning of in the same encounter where I was having this. And then for the next couple of weeks, a couple other of the most mature spiritual people I know, people I usually reach out to when I have questions or need a little more understanding, over a few weeks, I was getting calls and texts about, hey, we need to find this situation. Let's pray. Okay, what's going on? And then they would tell me, I'd be like, wow, okay. Yeah, we've already started praying on that. See, what we did instead of, when you are in the presence of people that, and you know the Holy Spirit's working in you, operating in the same way, that's a very powerful moment. And so when we got done praying, I had let them know we've already started binding this. And so instead of going around and telling everybody on Facebook and our friends and our neighbors and going to ball games talking about it, no, we didn't. We prayed together. We bound it. We prayed over every person that was in the situation or that had that feeling or was causing that feeling or however you want to look at it. But we started binding everything and loosing understanding and love and letting him work on our behalf, because that was a really heavy, like there was a, that was a heavy warning. Okay. And so, I just want you to take advice, my advice. Okay. Cause this was something I had to deal with for months because I chose to, right? Cause I didn't understand it. I didn't understand it until I hit the altar. Because I don't know in that situation what I had done, did, said, whatever. I didn't understand. So the best thing I could do was hit the altar because God knew. The Holy Spirit knew. So we've got to get out of our own flesh, right? So he can work in us to further grow us. But you will get that understanding. See, when you have those old hurt pockets, right? And you put them down at the cross, as we're instructed to do. But a few months later, you go back over there and pick that hot, hurt pocket back up just because, if it comes to mind and you start talking about it, you're carrying it again. Okay, see, those old, deep-rooted hurt pockets, they don't go away, okay, by yourself. Not on your own accord. It will not happen. And what they do is they don't get lighter over time. They get more deep-rooted, they get darker, and it gets heavier. The sooner you hit the altar, when you start repentance, and that's a really good way to start on repentance. When you wholeheartedly and truly ask for that repentance and starting there, things are going to start feeling a lot lighter. You're going to start understanding things and seeing things that you had not before. I don't want you to keep picking these things up like I did, because all you're doing is walling around like a pig in a pen of filth. I mean, it is. You, all these things that have hurt you in your past and you choose to keep resonating on them, you're walling your own stink. Get the stink out of you. You know, it's what we are instructed to do. It's what we are supposed to do. So if you choose to repent and you keep going back to all your own stuff, that's on you. That ain't on God. That wasn't on any of the other people involved. That is on you if you choose to keep carrying around bitterness. That bitterness will start showing outwardly through your actions, words, and habits. Over time, your actions, words, and habits become who you are here on earth. Okay? And everyone knows and sees it. And the old Nitty bitties are not very becoming to be around. Don't be a nitty bitty. As children of God, we are to be imitators of God. And I'm pretty sure he is not a grumpy old man. We represent God in his likeness. We are to be a beacon of light to others. We will be a light to others if we choose to put it all down. When you keep picking that stuff up, that dark, that ugly, and you're choosing to pile it all and carry it around with you, it's real hard to be a beacon of light with all that ugly in you, ain't it? Yeah. The load you choose to pick up and carry does not get lighter over time. That is your decision. We have to check ourselves first before trying to check someone else. When your spirituality is not measured when your flesh is comfortable, when everything is smooth, that's not when your spirituality is measured. It's measured when the walls are pressing in. And when you start feeling a shift you don't like, that is not to your accord, that is the moment you need to start repentance. And this is how I did it. It was four pretty easy things. Crucify your flesh. That means get on the straight path, put your feelers aside, and get into the Holy Spirit. That's Galatians 5:24. I remember that. Yes. Now, those who belong to Jesus Christ crucified the flesh with its passion and its desires. Don't be worrying about your finances and your job and your nail appointment, hair appointment. Sorry, ladies, nothing against. But you know what I mean? You have to get out of the flesh thinking when you go to the altar and get in spiritual realm. Number two, get to the altar and you better get cozy. Okay, bring you a blanket. It doesn't matter. Number three, praise, worship, and prayer. And then number four, what we talked about last week, get you your pocket scriptures. Okay, keep those constant repeats. Even if you're not speaking, let those just keep saying them in your head, because that is how it's going to get in your heart, and that's going to start rooting in you and getting some of that bad stuff out. So when you start to respond to somebody that may have, like, you know, hit you with a pin, God's words are going to come out of your mouth and not mouth. You can see somebody's true spirituality by how they talk and how they act when the walls are caving in. The part of repentance isn't just to use if you decide to co-cut somebody that you probably shouldn't have. It also removes those deep-rooted hurt pockets. Once you put it down, you got to leave it down. You cannot keep picking your old self back up. Repentance is humbling our flesh, less me, more he. The more we remove ourselves, the more he can work in and for us. So, I wanted today to part with a couple items my Uncle Precious shared and reminded me of. So I pray it resonates in you as well. And interesting enough, these were things he said years ago. And you know, they'd always just every now and then pop back up. And then it just so happens, maybe 2 months ago, he texted me a couple of these things. And so last Sunday when I started writing this, I was like, those came up, and I'm like, that's why I learned them. That's why I kept them in me, because I knew at some point they would, I mean, it may be 20 years later, but here we are. He said, I have heard sometimes that the things we do speak so loud that folks can't hear what we're saying. This is where you check yourself before attempting to check others. During one of the hardest times of my life at my son's funeral, Precious quoted, on this rock I tremble, faint of heart, weak of knee, but that steadfast rock of ages never trembles under me. This is your steadfast. This is where you can keep standing through the storms, knowing you're going to come out better on the other side. Growth. It's a growth spurt. I was talking to Lauren the other day about some things. I'm like, pretty sure I'm hitting a growth spurt. Not that I'm mad about it. Sometimes it really stretches and bends you, and it can be a little tough, but so enjoyable afterwards. Repentance can be tough for us to do because nobody likes admitting they're wrong. But we have the tools, and that's what we're instructed to do. But you know the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And that's all I have for today.